Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. It's come to be a fact of life here that power outages are a thing. I don't know whether it's just the number of trees in Michigan, or whether it's the power grid, or whether it's the fact that there are a whole bunch of trees between my house and the power line, but they just seem to happen a little more often than I would care for. No wonder Generacs are such a common sight. It's only happened a handful of times here at the church, at least as long as I've been here, and thankfully never during a worship service. But, although we did come kind of close during a funeral one time, but it's affected the parsonage at least a few times every year. It's fine when it happens during the day. I can just make sure my computer and phone are charged somewhere else. Panera's nice, the church is nice, since it doesn't always affect both at the same time. And then print things off at church if I really need to, and so on. But when it's nighttime and the power is out, it's not fun trying to deal with a power outage when there's no outside light. That's why I always carry a flashlight after one too many late night power outages and run-ins with the darkness. That's also why I have a bunch of lanterns at home. We need light in the darkness. While I can lighten the physical darkness around me with flashlights and lanterns, I know there's another darkness, one that my flashlight cannot penetrate, that my lanterns pale in comparison to. And it is because of that darkness that we pray our collect for this Sunday. And so I invite you to turn with me toward the beginning of the service, and we'll read together our collect of the day. Lord Jesus Christ, we implore you to hear our prayers and to lighten the darkness of our hearts by your gracious visitation. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. So, starting from the top, we implore you to hear our prayers. We're praying for God to hear our prayers. But why? After all, God has already promised that he hears all our prayers. God invites us, Jesus teaches us to pray in the Lord's Prayer, inviting us to call him our Father. He promises that he will hear and answer all of our prayers even better than any human father would. As Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 7, which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? God promises that he will hear our prayers. And he even takes it one step further when he promises that he hears our prayers even when we have no idea what to pray for. In Romans chapter 8, Paul assures us that We do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And so if God already answers our prayers in the way that is best for us, even when we don't know what we need, why do we need to pray for God to hear? When we pray this prayer, when we implore him to hear our prayers, we are praying nothing less than for trust, for faith, to trust that his promises are true. Sometimes I don't know what God is going to do. All I can do is pray and hope. Sometimes I forget what God's promises are, or I forget, can this really be for me? God reminds us that he does hear our prayers. Oftentimes our prayers serve more to align our thoughts and desires with the heavenly, holy thoughts and desires of God than to bring him in line with us. It's not about conforming God to my will when I pray. It's about conforming my will to God's will. That when we pray that God will bring us in line with him, bring us to trust that his promise is true. And so we pray that God would lighten the darkness of our hearts. When we pray this, there's something that's implied that I don't think we stop to think about. We're saying that there is darkness in our hearts. Now, this shouldn't be a new concept, of course. That there is darkness in this world is simply the nature of this world, living in a world corrupted and broken and fallen and darkened by sin. Sin is darkness. It's a darkening of our sight and of our life. John chapter 3, Jesus says, "This is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil." The darkness in this world wars against and rejects the light that comes from God. This darkness clings and hides sin and evil. So long as we remain in the darkness, we are not walking in the light. And thus we pray that God would lighten the darkness of our hearts. But then, where does this light come from? We look for that light in many different places throughout our lives, don't we? We pray that he would lighten our darkness, but we try too often to find the light by ourselves. In a sense, all the religions of the world are searching for this light, trying to shed light on this world. Some claim to find that light within ourselves, where we already know there is nothing but that darkness. Some look for light in the things of this world, in nature, in the stars, the sun. But in this world, any light we find is as nothing. In this world, there is still nothing but darkness. People also will try to look for light on their own, in the joys and pleasures of this world, which are fleeting and passing away and lead only into more darkness, in relationships which can end, in knowledge or learning which only ever is going to be incomplete, in the distractions of this world. Nothing we find on our own can possibly lighten our darkness. For all this world is so darkened on its own, it can't offer us anything but more of the same, more darkness, more sin. Thus, the light that we pray for needs to come from somewhere outside of ourselves. In our gospel reading, we read about John the Baptist, who came to bear witness about the light. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. John, the forerunner of the Messiah, proclaimed a baptism of repentance, calling people to repent of their sins, to turn to him, to turn to God, to look for forgiveness, to confess their sins and have them washed away. He called the people to confess, to put their trust, their hope in the one who was to come, the one who is greater than he, the strap of whose sandal he is not worthy to untie. And then he even showed and pointed that light to everyone when it came. Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. Now, we do not have John the Baptist today to point us to the light, at least not in person, outside of the written word of God. We have instead God's written word, which we read in the Bible. We have God's word spoken to us by fellow believers, by our pastors and church workers who share God's message with us. But ultimately, we do not come to him. He must come to visit us. And so that is what we pray for when we ask that by his great, that he would lighten the darkness of our hearts by his gracious visitation. Now, visitation means that he is coming to us. When I make a visit, I am going to visit someone where they are. They aren't coming to me. We can't reach God on our own. That ship sailed with the fall into sin. We are lost in a world of darkness. We cannot become right with God on our own. We cannot lighten our own darkness. We need God to do all of those things for us. God's promise all along has been that he would visit his people and take away their sins, take away their bondage to sin by bringing us to him. Joseph saw this and promised it to his brothers in Genesis chapter 50, when he said, God will visit you and bring you up out of this land to the land that he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, a promise that would be fulfilled when God visited his people and brought them up out of their slavery in Egypt. Jeremiah's promise in chapter 27 was that the people would remain in Babylon until the day when I visit them. God would visit them when he came and relieved them from their exile and brought them back to their land. But all of these visitations, these are simply a foreshadowing of the gracious visitation that God ultimately carried out for us. The visitation foretold by Zechariah's song at the birth of John the Baptist, when he said, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. He visited his people in the form of an infant, Jesus. He lightened their darkness by teaching and healing with his wisdom and with his power. He showed his grace by healing all their diseases, took away the darkness of their hearts by his redemption, his suffering, and death. Our darkness is not something that could be lightened by our own actions. Only God himself can break the darkness and let the light shine through. It's only when God himself descends from heaven and visits his people, taking away their sins, healing their diseases, that the dawn breaks for us. And so in hope, we look for Jesus' coming, for his visitation. This week, we celebrate his first visitation when he took on human flesh and was born of a virgin. We also anticipate and long for his second visitation when he will come in power and glory to judge the living and the dead, when he will restore creation, remaking all things perfect as he always intended them to be, when he will give us the blessing of living in that new heavens and new earth, when there is no need for sun or moon, because the light will come from the light of the world. But we're not quite there yet. The new creation as we experience it in this life is but a shadow, a foretaste of what we will experience in that day. But we have that foretaste nonetheless. The foretaste of the feast to come that is ours in the Lord's Holy Supper, which we will receive with our mouths, the testament of our Lord's gracious visitation to us today. The light of the world in and under physical form, lightening our darkness so that he can shine through us into a darkened world, showing his light, his love, to those around us who need to experience it during this season. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.